I'm Jim Fleming, and this is the podcast of one segment from To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas from PRI, Public Radio International, and Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Sony Pictures, presenting All the King's Men. Sean Penn leads a cast including Sir Anthony Hopkins. All the King's Men is in theaters September 22nd.
Forget the Middle East. Robert Kaplan says the war in Iraq is just a blip on the radar screen. The next U.S. military challenge will be in the Pacific against China. This week's excerpt from To the Best of Our Knowledge is part of a program about a changing China, from its military and economy to its literature, and the godfather of Chinese rock and roll, Sui Jian. In 1936, a giant panda named Su Lin charmed America. Su Lin was the first giant panda ever brought out of China alive, a footnote in history, except for one thing, the person who brought her back. No, it wasn't a swashbuckling adventurer. It was a New York City dress designer and socialite named Ruth Harkness. And it was no fluke. Months later, she did it again with a giant panda named Mei Mei. Vicky Croak tells her story in a book called The Lady and the Panda, but did Ruth Harkness know what she was getting into?
She may have been much more daunted if she had truly known what was ahead. She had some idea. Most people laughed at her for going to China. As she said herself, she wouldn't know a pheasant from a tufted deer, but she thought she would know a panda if she ran into one. I don't think anyone could probably have foreseen just how difficult. I mean, it's not only the landscape. Here she was going to the steep and perilous mountains that separate China and Tibet. But China itself was in political chaos at the time. There were roving gangs of bandits that numbered as many as 600 in Sichuan, where she was headed to. And also there were fierce warrior-like people in the area who did not want foreigners intruding. So there was danger at every step. And yet Ruth Harkness was not only brave, but she had a great sense of humor about herself. And before she left on her journey, when people were telling her absolutely not to go, she would die out there, she said her real only concern was whether her permanent wave would hold up in the interior.
Mrs. Harkness, I understand that Mei Mei came with you from China by train, boat, and air. Now, how did she behave? And wait a minute, and isn't Mei Mei, that means little sister in Chinese, doesn't it?
It does. And she was a darling, Mr. Gaxton. The baby was given a cabin all to herself by courtesy of the steamship company. But she had a mind of her own. She determined that she wouldn't sleep alone. The first night out from Shanghai, she poked her funny little black and white face through the connecting door into my cabin at least 20 times during the night. From then on, she never did occupy the stateroom so kindly presented to her. She preferred to sleep in my bed, and so it remained.
She decided that she would not join up with other Western men. She selected instead as her partner Quentin Young, 21-year-old Chinese adventurer. She said she didn't want another Westerner on her trip. By then she was in love with China, and she wanted to go off with him alone. At that time, there isn't one well-funded Western expedition that would allow either Ruth Harkness or Quentin Young to lead their expedition, and yet these two improbable underdogs pulled it off on their own.
You're also quoted somewhere as saying that, in fact, it may have been good thing that she was a woman, because she was uncertain about the ways in which these things were done and willing, therefore, to try methods that none of the others perhaps would have thought of.
That's right. I think we've come to believe that she didn't accomplish what she did despite being a woman, but maybe because of it. And my joke now is that we know that everyone always says men won't ask for directions and women will. And so in some ways, it's true of Ruth Harkness that most of the Western explorers came in, looked at maps, determined their route, hired porters, and then went directly out there. Instead, Ruth listened to a Chinese adventurer who had been in the area and had been in panda habitat, who said, "I can show you where the pandas are." And secondly, she did something that we think no one else had done, and that was she had an epiphany in Shanghai before she left on her journey. She thought to herself, one of the big scares was, how do you keep a panda alive outside the bamboo zone? That was always a concern for people. And she thought to herself, what if I found a baby? So she brought with her, she packed a little glass nursing bottle and some formula, and that, of course, turned into the most important piece of equipment she could have when indeed they did find a baby panda.
I think a baby panda looks probably more like a glorified teddy bear than anything else I could think of. She has four black legs and a black saddle across her back. two powder puff black ears, and two great sad black circles around her eyes.
What, when they got back, was the world's reaction to all of this? Because she was the first to bring out a live panda, was she not?
I tell people, I think the only way to really even get our minds around the reaction to it is to say, if Stella McCartney or Donna Karen, two dress designers, were to go to the moon and bring back a creature we had never heard of and had never seen, that would give you some idea of the reaction of the American people. Because most of them had never heard of a giant panda before, had never seen such a thing. I have a postcard from 1936 of Su Lin, and on the back, the writer said to a friend, "Have you ever seen such a queer creature in your life?" When Ruth arrived in San Francisco, there was widespread, as every newspaper reporter said, pandemonium. She was in the front of newspapers across the country, newsreels. Time magazine called it a scientific prize of first magnitude. It was Depression Age America. People were feeling down and out. And here was a story that they could feel good about. Imagine this glamorous, she was invariably described as glamorous. This glamorous woman arrives on the shore with an animal that almost seemed mythological. People just went crazy.
How did she feel about it, though, when it began to be clear what she'd started?
Initially, what Ruth wanted to do was bring back mated pairs of pandas so we could be sure to have a population here. Very quickly, after her second panda, she could see that her rivals, there was a gold rush mentality. People were rushing into the interior of China and trying to bring out as many giant pandas as possible. By her third expedition, it was very clear to her that she did not want to participate in this. She found herself in Chengdu in 1938. She had in hand a very young panda that she could have brought home to make money, and by then her financial future did depend on making a living doing this. But she was so disgusted by what she saw, and she feared that they had been driven out of the valleys where she had been before. As she said, she put her expedition in reverse. She went back up into the mountains, and she set free this little panda, Su Sen. Since then, I've discussed this with George Schaller, our great expert on giant pandas, and he said that the age he believes Su Sen was, that she was more than capable of surviving once Ruth set her free.
And so it's conceivable that we're seeing descendants of Su Sen even now.
Yes. I went to China, retraced her journey, and every time we went to a breeding reserve, I thought, my God, these could be several generations in of Su Sen.
Vicky Croke is the author of The Lady and the Panda. You've been listening to a segment from PRI's To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas. If you would like to hear the program in its entirety, visit ttbook.org or check with your local public radio station. You can also download the entire hour at audible.com/ttbook.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.